We turn again to Hebrews chapter 11. I hope you're not getting tired of this chapter. We've been in it for a long time now. Some of you may be here tonight who were not with us in the morning. We were also in Hebrews 11 this morning. And so if you're expecting us to speak about Moses tonight, you're too late. We spoke about Moses this morning, but we are going to speak again tonight about his parents. Now, ladies, this is what we're going to do tonight for your special benefit. As you go down through Hebrews 11, it's mostly dealing with men, great men of faith, men who did great exploits for God. But there are places in this chapter where the women folks are brought in. Now, I think most of us here tonight will understand and agree with this, that the Bible teaches that women folks are not given a public place in any local church. That is one of the weaknesses of the present day of liberalism. They are allowing the women folks to take the pulpit. They are ordaining them. God bless them, they are doing it. It's not the Lord who's doing it. But they're ordaining women folks to become the preachers, so on, etc., etc., etc. And a great number of women folks today are anxious to throw divine principles overboard. Last week in a certain church not too far from here, the minister wasn't able to be present. So one of the ladies of the congregation took over the prayer meeting. Really let go, they told me. Her husband told me she really let them out. Gave them an exposition of the book of Revelation. I don't know how she did it, for she doesn't understand the difference between the rapture and the revelation, so how she managed to do it, I don't know. But she did it. Wonderful! So they told me. I said to her husband, were you there? He said, oh yeah. A shame upon you. Why didn't you do it? It's your place, not ours. Now, you know the stand I take. Now, ladies and brethren, the time has come when we've got to take our stand for what the Bible teaches. We've not to be rebellious. What the Bible says, we have got to bow to and be obedient to the things of the Lord. If we're not, then God will deal with us. Just the same as you deal with children and the disobedient. However, having said that, I want to point out to you there is a great place for women folks in the economy of God. That's what we're going to look at tonight in Hebrews 11. The place that the Spirit of God has given here and what he says about women who acted in faith. Well, let us read them first and see if you can join them together. Let us look now at one that we passed over the other week. Let us look at verse 11. Hebrews 11 and verse 11. Through faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. There's the first lady that's introduced to us, acting in faith. We'll come back to it in a moment or two. Look now at verse 23. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents. And I mentioned this morning that when you go back to Exodus chapter 2, it seems to be that all the credit is given to his mother in Exodus 2 in the historical record. Here the Spirit of God brings the two of them together, his parents. And so Jochebed, the mother of Moses, acted in faith. Because they saw he was a proper child, And they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Now let us look at verse 31. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. Look at verse 35. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Sure the Lord will bless to us the reading of these verses. Let us bow for prayer. Our Father, we thank Thee again for the mercy and for the grace that finds us assembled here tonight on this occasion. We thank Thee for the fellowship we're able to have with one another, having a common attachment to the same Lord and sharing in the same hope that one day we'll be with Him and be like Him. In the meantime, as we turn to Thy Word, we want Thee to speak to us and grant that our hearts shall be encouraged, that when we leave here tonight, it will be with a determination to trust Thee more fully than we've ever trusted Thee before. Hear us in these things now for the Lord Jesus' sake. Amen. Now it's coming near time again when the day schools will be out. Children will be on vacation. And that's why most places have what they call their vacation Bible schools. When they seek to bring the children together and give them a week. You know, in a week, you have the children with you for quite a long time at a Bible school, whereas at Sunday school, that you teachers will agree with me, you have barely half an hour. In some Sunday schools, it's less than that. But even if they have half an hour, and if you had each child for 52 weeks, 52 Sundays in the year, it's not a long time, is it? It's only 26 hours in a whole year in which to teach the children. Now let me say this, that the idea of instructing children and teaching children is a very important matter. You've heard it said over and over again that most of the people who go on for the Lord were saved when they were young. Very rarely do you get old men and old women to trust the Lord. The older they grow, the harder they grow. It's very difficult to get old people to trust the Lord. However, most of you also agree with me here, and you know my stand, that I do not believe in pressurizing children. I do not believe that children should be pressured into making confession. I believe the Spirit of God works with children the same as with older folks. The Spirit of God is able to take the seed of the Word, and when it's planted in the heart of the child, the Spirit of God can work on that. And ultimately the child grows up and becomes wise unto salvation. I believe that. However, that does not excuse us. There is a great need for children being valued correctly. You see, if a child gets saved, it's not only a soul saved from hell, it's a life saved from sin. Time and time again, I take time to thank the Lord that I was saved when I was young. When I begin to think of some of the things I've been saved from, when I see others who grew up with me and what they became, and the way they wasted their years, the awful wreck that some of them have made, I wonder if you ever do this as a good exercise. I sometimes try to go over some of the names of boys that grew up with me. There's very few of us left. Very few. And when I think of the way that some of them ended their days, and the wreck they made, some of them grew up, went to the same Sunday school as I went to, had the same truths taught, became drunkards, gamblers, jailbirds, got into an awful lot of trouble. I know at least one who committed suicide. When you think of the end of some of these, I know another who emigrated, came over to this country. The last I heard was that he was burned to death, set his bed on fire, having gone to sleep with a lighted cigarette in his hand. That's what the verdict was anyway, and set the blankets on fire and burned himself to death. I suppose he'd be drunk when he did it. When I begin to think of some of these, and how few of us out of that number trusted the Lord, went on for the Lord, it makes you thankful that you were saved young. Now the reason I'm giving you this little introduction is this, that when you come to consider the women folks who are mentioned here, more or less they've got to do with children. Ladies, yes, you have a great work to do. And I believe the mothers, grandmothers and others, Sunday school teachers, can do a tremendous work with children sometimes us men folk cannot do. I look back over the years, of course, I did a lot of children's work myself for many years, different places. I think of some today who are saved and still going on. They got saved at children's meetings. Thank God for that. But I still believe that mothers can have a great influence. You only need to think of some of the mothers mentioned in the Bible. Think of Hannah, the mother of Samuel, and see what Samuel became all under the influence of his mother. You think of Timothy in the New Testament. What Timothy became under the influence of his mother and his grandmother. These are just samples taken from the Old Testament and the New. Coming here to the Epistle to the Hebrews chapter 11, you know we've been stressing the fact, cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. The just shall live by faith. Faith is the confidence of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. And a lot of men are mentioned, and then all of a sudden we come here, and it's giving us the record of Abraham. The great things that Abraham did, how Abraham believed God, counted unto him for righteousness, but what could Abraham have done without Sarah? Now don't come and tell me about Sarah's great mistake, how she suggested that he should have the Egyptian maid, etc., etc. We know that. But that is not mentioned when you come to Hebrews 11. When you come to Hebrews 11, it's what Sarah did by faith that's mentioned. And here the Spirit of God seems to lay great emphasis on what she did that was right. Through faith, also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Here is a woman in relation to a child. She produced a new life. Now remember this, it wasn't that she wasn't anxious to have the child before that. Abraham and Sarah had a longing desire to have the child. Not only so, but God had promised Abraham that he would bless him, that he would be the father of many nations. Now you think of this man with God's promise, and now he's away up 99 years of age, and his wife 90. How is God going to keep his promise? Here's Sarah, 90 years of age. And they know the promise has been given that Abraham's going to be the father of many nations. And the blessing that God gave to Abraham would be passed on to his seed, the one that would be born of Sarah. No wonder she laughed, though she was rebuked for that. And yet when the child is born, they call him laughter. There is a time, when it's correct to laugh, isn't it? Don't go around with long faces all the time. She had real good laughter. And when she knew she was going to have this child, but notice, she produced this child when the flesh was as good as dead. The trouble with us is we try to produce in the energy of the flesh. And when we try to produce in the energy of the flesh, it's to no avail. What you produce isn't for God's glory. When Abraham produced something in the energy of the flesh, he produced Ishmael. And Ishmael has been the sworn enemy of the Israelites ever since. But the time has come now and everything is focused on Sarah. Yes, Sarah, your wife, will bear a child. And she'll be a man-child. He'll carry on the name, all right. And he'll get the blessing, all right. Sarah, you're going to have a child. You're going to produce something for God. Well, how can I do it? You know, there's the very opposite thing. You remember me pointing this out to you one night? You have the very opposite of this when you come to the New Testament. When it was told to Mary that she was going to have a child, she says, how can this be? I haven't reached that stage yet. I don't know a man. You're away back here, you find Isaac is going to be born when the flesh is dead. When the flesh is unable to produce anything, God says, now it's time for me to work. And to prove that it was all of God, he says, you'll have a seed. And Sarah herself, through faith, you see, ladies, here was a woman who had confidence in God. And having her confidence in God, she was able to produce the new life. If you and I are going to produce anything for God, it will only be if we have this absolute confidence in God. This faith in God. God works in His own way. God moves in a mysterious way. His wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps on the waves and rides upon the storm, so said William Cowper, the great poet. And here it was true right here in the life of Sarah. And I'm glad she's brought in here. Sarah acted through faith. So you see, ladies, not only do you find men of faith, but you do find women of faith. Women who had absolute confidence in God, it may not have been spectacular. It may not have been something outstanding in the eyes of the world. Just an elderly woman having a child. Well, to some folks that was nothing. Everyday occurrence. But it was something to God. For the child that she produced was Isaac. The one to whom there would be committed those promises that had been given to Abraham to be passed on. And, says he, from him there sprang, even of him, one who is as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude. Have you ever thought she only produced one son? But see what's happened from there. The seed that has developed from there, like the multitude of the stars, like the multitude of the sands on the seashore, who can number them? The people that developed from him. It may be, ladies, that you can only produce one. Don't expect everyone in your class to get converted, although be thankful if they do. I knew one lady who was a Sunday school teacher. You know, she had a strange way of looking at things. She perhaps took about the fourth grade. She expected everyone that come into her class, they must be saved before they go on to the next class. They must be saved in her class. There didn't sound wrong. I don't know what she did with those who were saved before they came to her class, perhaps had to get saved over again. You know? She expected them all to be saved in her class. A number of years ago, I was taking a certain vacation Bible school, not here, not place, and they gave me the form that was to go through for the so many days, you know, about 2 weeks or something. And when I went over these lessons, I couldn't agree with them at all. Here's why. The first lesson was excellent. Second lesson, excellent. Third lesson, really good. The fourth lesson. Certain questions the children had to be asked that day, and if they answered those questions correctly, they were saved. They'd all get saved on the fourth day. Which to me is the silliest thing you can expect. Let's be honest. Let's be good at these things and be able to do our arithmetic right too. And get our theology right. The point is this, your job is to plant the seed. Let the seed germinate, let it grow. No, when I plant seed in my garden, I don't go out getting under the soil each day, the seed is beginning to sprout. I wait till it comes through. Let God do the work down there. If there's life in the seed, it will come out. It was a dead thing before I put it in and nothing would come out. He would put in the living seed. Sarah by faith conceived, delivered a child, all by faith. One. If in the whole of your Sunday school career or in your vacation Bible school or in your married circle, you only win one. Thank God for the one. That one may become a multitude. Go ahead. You come a little further. If in Sarah it was faith that produced life, may I suggest that when you come to Jochebed, the mother of Moses, life here is preserved. Not only produced, but preserved. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months. Now, it's obvious that the faith there in that verse is not the faith of Moses. It's the faith of his parents. There's only one thing that Moses is recorded as doing at the time he was a baby. If I was to pose that as a question to all of you tonight, I think some of you could answer it, but not many. Only one thing that's recorded about Moses when he was a baby. He cried. That's all he wept. And he was not a baby girl, baby boy. He cried. Well, boys aren't supposed to cry. He did. You know something? I've often wondered about the power of a tear. It changed the course of the world. Changed the course of a great nation. You see, when he was born, as I said this morning, he was born at a time of crisis. His father would have to go out at sunrise, and he wouldn't be back until sundown. His father would have to work a long day. There was no union to fight the case in those days. He would have to go out and gather straw and stubble and all the rest of it and work in the brick kiln. He was a slave. Moses was the child of a family of slaves. When he was born by faith, now I'll pose something to all of you, which is not recorded here. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We all agree with that. I wonder, what was the root of the faith of Moses' parents? I wonder. I wonder, had God told them something? If so, then if God revealed something to them, it means that these were godly people. Godly. In touch with the God, in spite of their circumstances, which were all against them, they didn't lose their contact with their God. Joseph has been dead for many years, and a Pharaoh has arisen who didn't know Joseph, and he's persecuting these people, but somehow or another, they still know the living God, the God of Jacob. They're in touch with their God. God has revealed something to them. They act in faith. Remember all the months leading up to the birth of that little boy. Knowing that this subject has been passed by the king, that every little boy born to the Hebrews is to be thrown in the river. They seem to know it's a boy. They're ready to act in faith. Had it been a little girl, they'd have been allowed to keep her. But the birth took place as a boy. What can we do? Life has been produced. But how are we going to preserve it? What are we going to do with this little boy? The whole verdict is against him. He's got to die. He's to be placed in the river. Oh no. God has given him to us. We're not going to throw him out. We must do something for him. We'll preserve him. We'll hide him. They hid him for 3 months. The trouble with us is this. When they get saved, we forget to nurse them. We forget to nurse them. Peter says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. May I suggest, ladies, that Jochebed took a little boy and she nursed him. She gave him the sincere milk. She cared for a little boy. She would have to wash him and nurse him and keep him hidden from the enemy. Ah, she's preserving and protecting. That child has been given to her. May I suggest this? We're living in a hostile world. The enemy is anxious for our little ones. He wants them destroyed. He wants to destroy their mind. He wants to destroy their usefulness. He wants to entrap them in his sin. They've been given to us. Our job is to protect them. Preserve them. Watch over them. Feed them. I'm talking now of spiritual things. We need to feed them with spiritual food. We need to warn them about the dangers. We need to protect them. Then the day came when they still acted in faith. Now, I've often watched this. The day came when she couldn't hide him any longer. Who could hide a baby boy any longer than 3 months? The whole street would know he was there, some way or another. What can we do now? And this is where I believe the parents had something to do with it. His mother's looking after him day by day, and his dad comes in at night. But now the time has come. There's a basket to be made. It's got to be pitched within and without with pitch. And those of you who are Bible scholars, I suggest to you, you take a little note of that and go home and study it sometime. This is what Noah also did with his ark. He pitched it within and without. And when you come to the New Testament, you'll get the meaning of that. And so now I suggest to you, his father would gather the things that were necessary, and the two of them would make this basket. And he would have to have this pitch, to pitch it within and without. What are they going to do with him? They're going to put him in the very place where the law said he had to be placed. They'll put him in the river, all right. They're going to obey that law. He's going in the river. But there's that that will protect them. The basket with the pitch and the lid. It's at that point where his sister's watching to see what would happen. The whole matter is led now with God. We've done our share. We've done our best to protect this little fellow. He's in God's hands. When Pharaoh's daughter opened the little lid, the child wept. Ladies, where is the woman today who wouldn't be moved by the tear of child? But I look now from the child's point of view. He has seen his mother and his sister for 3 months. That's about all he would see. Mother and his sister. Now he looks into the face of a strange woman, an Egyptian woman. No wonder he wept. But it was that tear that touched her heart. And you know the story how his mother was engaged to be a nurse. Now, from the time she got him, she nursed him. I don't know how many years now, but for a number of years she nursed him until he was able to take his stand and be accepted as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. What do you think that influence is going to be? The years that his mother nursed him. When it came time for him to make his choice and based on what his mother had told him, the influence of a mother as she protected her son, he grew up to be a man of God. Ladies, there is a job. There's something for women folks to do that men folks can't do. Yes, Sarah by faith produced. Jochebed by faith protected a little child that was given to her. But let us move outside that area now. Let us come to an outsider. Rahab. What can the likes of Rahab do? Yet her name is mentioned here in this great chapter of faith. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. Now, to get the whole story of Rahab, you've got to go back to the book of Joshua. What did she do by faith? What did she got to do with life? Here was a woman now who was looking out. She realized what was going to happen. She says, We've heard what God did for you folks down in Egypt. We've heard what God has done for you all through the wilderness. 40 years of history. She's heard. And we're trembling. We know that we can't fight against you, God. I want a pledge. Do you remember the pledge they gave her was the scarlet cord in the window. How many people do you think would be in her house that night? She was going to preserve life. The only place of salvation in the whole of Jericho was in her house. That's the only place where people would be saved. So what did she do? She ran around and she got her own people. Her father's house. I don't know whether there'd be children there or not. I suppose there would be. She got them in. She brought in her own folks, and they would have to be convinced of the thing the same as Rahab. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not. And that night she got them into her home on the walls of Jericho, the only place of safety. She went out for those of her father's house. You know, somehow or another, the life that woman had lived, it's a wonder to me that they didn't despise her. Perhaps some folk did, but the fact is that some believed. They believed of because of her testimony. He was a woman now whose background was so black, you and I might have looked down our nose at her, might have despised her. But when the crisis came, she acted in faith. She put the scarlet cord down from the window, and she got in those of her father's household and brought them into her home. And when the walls of Jericho fell, her house remained standing. And when the spies went in, they brought her and those that were with her out of the house. Ah, here was a case then of life preserved again. A woman who acted in faith. Ladies, you could do a work that some men can't do. Two each time, we're going to have a series of meetings here. I often wonder how many people have been brought in to hear the word by the influence of women. Personally, as I look back over the years, I've seen more people brought into meetings to hear the word by women than what I've seen brought in by men. It seems strange that, but it happens that way. Women folk can have an influence. They can bring other women, just the same as Rahab brought them in. You may be able to bring people that I could never get near, people that we couldn't even reach. You may be the means of bringing that person, maybe a friend, maybe a relative. Not maybe an enemy, but you can get some of them. Bring them in. Rahab brought them in. They were saved. They perished not. Yes, but let's take a moment or two just before we finish. Look at verse 35. Women received their dead raised to life again. And others, of course, were tortured, not accepting deliverance. But it's these women folks. Their names aren't given, but I'm sure of this. Most of you here right now could write in the margin of your Bible of two cases that you know. Do you remember the case in connection with Elijah? And you remember the case in connection with Elisha? Women folks who received the children again from the dead by faith. Women. Outsiders. You remember Elijah? Why, he was away up outside the borders of the land altogether. Elisha. You see, faith is not confined to a certain little circle. Faith is something that can reach out. Not only those who are in the special circle of Israel, but it goes out to the Gentiles. But may I suggest that right here there's a lesson we have to learn here. Here was a case where the child was given to them, then the child was taken from them, and then the child is received back. It's like resurrection. by faith, they receive that child again. You know, faith takes us not only from the beginning, it takes us right on through and takes us on to that which is still future. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which is great recompense of reward. You see the new life starting. You see the new life preserved. You see the new life protected. Ah, but then we're looking onward. There will be a renewal someday, you know. This old body shall be refashioned. We won't need any false teeth up there. We won't need these when we get up there. I'll look different. I suppose my hair will be different up there. We'll be like even better looking than we were before. It'll be a wonderful time when the resurrection takes place. That's faith. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which is great recompense of reward. Now ladies, I've drawn your attention to these outstanding cases in Hebrews 11 just to show that Hebrews 11 is not simply dealing with men. It's true, men can exercise faith, can live their lives on the principle of faith, so can women. There's work for women to do. There's a life to be lived, a life of faith. Each of us can leave here tonight determined that our confidence will be in God. Comfort me. Step by step. Day by day. Hour by hour. Put our hand in His hand and walk on with absolute confidence. Let's bow together for prayer and I'll ask our brother Franklin Pierce to dismiss us with a word of benediction.